Amen. I think if you count all those messages that Brother Fuller just preached, it's 41 messages. Amen. He said, I'm not preaching on this. This is not my point. But he finally got to it, didn't he? Amen. I appreciate it. I'm glad to be here. I don't know if I'm glad to be here right now at this particular time, but I am glad to be here and glad to be in the service. It's been a blessing. And I'm glad to have my sweetheart with me this week. My wife has been able to be here and been in the service today, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for everything that's going on this week, all the preaching that we've heard, and I appreciate everything that's been done for us, all the kindness. People always asking me, do you need anything? Do you need anything? So I'm working on a list. Amen. So the next one that asks me, I'll be ready. Now, I'm going to just preach one sermon tonight, I just have a few little points that I want to give to you tonight and give you a little picture here from the book of Judges and the 14th chapter, the book of Judges and the 14th chapter. And I am so thankful that the Lord allowed us to be here in the services this week. I love your pastor, Brother Gravely, and thank the Lord for him. And if you wonder what we're talking about, we're sitting up here, we're talking about preaching. That's what I like about it. When I call Brother Gravely, he wants to talk about the Bible and what he has seen lately. And I want to tell him what I have seen lately. It helps me. In fact, I preached a sermon one time called He's 7,000 Times Better Than I Thought He Was. And the reason I preached it was because Brother Gravely called me one day and asked me a question. He said, do you think Elijah knew about that 7,000? And I got to thinking about it, and God gave me a sermon on it. So that was because of what you said to me. So I'm glad men of God want to talk about the Bible. Amen. Appreciate them. Now, I've got what might be a little bit odd tonight, but I think it's a little bit odd every time I preach. But I want to talk to you about Samson for just a moment on this last sermon on the last night of the Bible conference. And I want you to notice in chapter 14 of the book of Judges, starting with verse number 5. The Bible said, then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. After a time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Now, in this little portion of Scripture, these few verses that we've read, there are a great deal of things that I will not deal with. There is a great deal of prophecy involved here in what's going on. There are some laws involved here. The primary application, I think, is telling us about laws that are being broken here. Samson was a Nazarite. He was not allowed to touch a dead body. There are a lot of things involved here, but I want to just do this for a moment. I want to just find a little picture here of the Lord Jesus and his church. And I have one thing really that I'm working toward, and we'll get to it here before the sermon is done. Let me say, first of all, tonight, that when I think of Samson, in some ways, not in every way, certainly not in all of his ways, but in some ways, Samson reminds us of the Lord Jesus. He's an Old Testament character that has some characteristics that remind us of the Lord. Certainly his sin does not remind us of the Lord, because we know about Jesus, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. His failures do not remind us of the Lord, but there are some things about him that do remind us of the Lord. He was a deliverer. That's what he came for, to deliver his people from bondage. And that's why Jesus came, to deliver us from the bondage of sin. His birth was announced by an angel, just like the birth of the Lord Jesus was announced by an angel. His birth was miraculous. He was born to a woman who had been barren. She could not have children, and God
God intervened and gave her a child. And I will remind you that the birth of our Lord Jesus was a miraculous birth, not to a barren woman, but a woman who was a virgin who had never known a man. And then his death was mentioned at his birth. The Bible tells us when this angel is announcing his birth that the angel also mentions the day of his death. And that reminds me of the Lord Jesus, because he came to die on the cross of Calvary for you and I. Then his name reminds me of the Lord. His name, Samson, it's the word Shamshon. It means sunlight and to be brilliant. And I want to remind you who the light of the world is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the sunshine of heaven. And I'll tell you what else he is. He's the sunshine of my life tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ. So in some ways, Samson reminds us of the Lord Jesus. Not in every way, but in some ways. And so I want us to think about him like that for just a moment. And I want to say three things to you about Samson and the swarm that we find here in this passage. The first thing I want you to notice is the victory that takes place in the vineyard. The victory in the vineyard. Now watch what it said. Here we have a vineyard. There's a problem in the vineyard. What is it? There's a lion in the vineyard. And you know what the lion's doing? He's making the vineyard unfruitful. It cannot be used. Nobody can gain by it. Nobody can get anything out of it because there's a lion in the way. He's making the vineyard unfruitful. But here is Samson. He's coming down. You know why he's coming down? Because he's in love with somebody. And he's coming down because of that love. And when he comes down to that vineyard, this lion roars against him. And the Bible tells us this, and I like the way it's put. The Bible said he rent him as he would rend a kid. In other words, he didn't have a bit of trouble with that lion. That lion did not bother him one bit. And then it said this, he had nothing in his hand. So here's the picture I have. A Samson comes down because he's in love. He's on a journey of love. But there's a lion in the way. And so he rends the lion as it were if he were a kid. And there's nothing that he needs to help him. He has nothing in his hand. I want to remind you, Jesus came on a journey of love. He was looking for a bride, you and I. He was in love and he came down to this world. But the world was unfruitful because there was a lion in the vineyard. The devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And that lion was making the vineyard unfruitful. But I tell you what Jesus did. He came with nothing in his hand and rent the devil as though he were a kid. He didn't have to have my help. He didn't have to have your help. He had the strength all in his own to defeat the devil on the cross of Calvary. So we have the victory in the vineyard. Not only do we have the victory in the vineyard, but then we have, secondly, the colony in the carcass. Now watch what was the result of what took place. He came down and rent the lion. Verse number 8. After a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, I like that word behold. It's meaning, hey, pay attention here. This is something surprising. This is something wonderful. Behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. You know what happened? In the very carcass of his enemy, there was life now. There was opportunity now. There was building now. There was a colony now right in the mouth of that lion, right in the carcass of that dead lion. You know what the Lord did? He left a colony right here, right in the middle of the devil's domain, right in the middle of the world that the devil, he's the god of this world, but Jesus rent him, and now there's a colony growing here. We call it the church, the people of God, a colony growing right here. I want you to think about the colony a moment. I'll say just a couple things about him. There is the pollination. What happens with that colony? Well, if you have a colony of bees, what they do is they go out of the colony and they pollinate in order to keep the world living. You know what we do in the church? We go outside these four walls and we spread the gospel so that there can be life in the midst of death. And if the church quits telling the truth, how the world will die and go to hell. We've got to be busy in this business of pollination. There's not only pollination, there's perpetuation. Not only toward the plants and the trees out about, but toward the needs of the hive itself. In its own community, each member laboring with love for the upholding of the whole. That's the way it is in the church. Each one laboring with love, not only for those that are outside, but we help one another. How many times the Bible said to love one another? We're to meet together and exhort one another to love and to provoke unto good works, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. There's pollination, there's perpetuation. I'm talking about this colony now, the church. There's production. What's going on? They're making something. You know what they're making? They're making something sweet. Sweet to the taste. They're making honey inside of that swarm, inside of that colony of the bees. They're making that honey. They're doing that toward the return of the one who set them up. The one who won the victory. They're making honey. So you have the victory in the vineyard, and you have the colony in the carcass. Here's what I want to emphasize for just a moment or two. The honey in the hands. So Samson, Shamshon, the Savior, the Deliverer comes. He rends the lion. And in the very carcass, in the very heart of enemy territory, what used to be enemy territory, now there's a colony. And they're making honey. And after a time, I don't know if anybody knew when the time was, but after a time, he came back. And when he came back, he found that colony in the carcass. And when he found that colony in the carcass, he reached down in there and he got him a big handful of that sweet honey. I'm picturing it in my mind. He comes walking through there, and he said, would you look at that? Would you look at what's here? And reach down into the carcass of that dead lion. And he pulled out that honey. And the Bible said he went on his way eating. Oh, that's sweet to the taste. That's good. I like that. That's good. Now, nobody's going to want to shake my hand after the service. But I want you to think about this a moment. I come here to the Jubilee. There's preachers get up behind the pulpit and they preach. And they've prayed and they've studied and they preach the Word of God. And you know what I believe is going on while they're doing it? I believe the one who started the colony and the carcass is going, that's sweet. That's good. That is good preaching. That was good studying. Oh, I'm glad you, that's sweet to my taste. But not just preachers. You know what I believe is going on? Somebody back yonder in the kitchen. You never saw them do any cooking. You never saw the work. But you know what? The one who started the colony and the carcass, he comes by and dips his hand down in there and pulls it out and goes, that's sweet. That's sweet. That cooking in the kitchen. That's sweet. Somebody ran a sweeper up and down the aisle and swept up the stuff that was left over. Some little one got their food in here and they left crumbs everywhere. Don't get too upset. That's what little ones are supposed to do. That's part of being a little one. And somebody went down there and saw all that stuff, all them crumbs. You know what they did? They went and got a sweeper and they took that sweeper and they swept it up. You never saw them do it. You don't know who they are. They didn't make any bones about it. But I tell you what, the one who started the colony in the carcass did. He saw you with that sweeper. And he got down and he got a little bit of that honey. And he went, oh, that's good. That's good. And then the singers got up to sing. And they got up and they needed a microphone. And somebody's sitting over there at the sound booth. And you never seen him. You never paid any attention to him. You don't know his name. He never sang a note. He might not be able to carry a tune in a bucket. But I tell you what he did. He turned that mic up and that singer got to singing about the good grace of God. And you know what I believe that one that killed the lion did? He reached down and got a little bit of that honey and got Oh, that's sweet. And somebody straightened up a chair. And somebody put up a table. And somebody washed a wall. And somebody unlocked a door. And somebody put the sound up. Somebody fixed up the platform. Every time they did it, that one that started the colony in the carcass, he reached down, got him a good handful of that honey. Went, oh, that's sweet. Oh, that sweeper was sweet. And that cooking was sweet. And that song leading was sweet. And that that sound running was sweet, and that singing was sweet, and that preaching was sweet, and all along that one that started this thing said, oh, it's mighty sweet, it tastes mighty good, I'm sure thankful for the honey in the hand. You know what I think? I think sometimes you do something for the Lord and you didn't think anybody noticed. And you didn't think anybody paid attention. And you just feel like, well, maybe it didn't matter. But what you need to remember is everything you did because you loved him, he just reached down and got a handful of it. And when he went on his way, he tasted and said, that tastes mighty sweet. That is sweet to my palate. I think about these singers getting up and saying, I think it was sweet to his palate when the preachers preached. Whatever it was you did, you might have worked in the nursery. You might have took care of somebody, some child, so that somebody else could sit in the auditorium and hear the preacher of the Word of God. And he said, well, nobody knows my name. I was just in the nursery. God knows who you were. God knows about it. I believe it was sweet to his taste. I don't know what you did this week, but I guarantee you one thing. The one that started the colony in the carcass, the one that ripped up the lion like he was a kid, he knows what you did. He saw what you did. And I guarantee you it was sweet to his taste. You know what I believe? He'll go on his way tonight tasting that honey. Saying, boy, it sure was sweet to see my people loving on me down there at that Jubilee. I don't want you to be discouraged when you feel like nobody noticed your service. I don't want you to be discouraged when you feel like nobody knows your name. When somebody got mentioned and you didn't get mentioned, I'm going to tell you, he knows who you are. He knows what you did. And what you did was sweet to his taste. There is the victory in the vineyard. There is the colony in the carcass. And there is the honey in the hands. And you know what I believe? I believe there'll be a reward for everyone that does their work for him, because that's what Jesus said. He said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man. I sure would like for my life and the things that I do to be sweet to his taste. I like to think of him going on his way, eating that honey, saying, that sure did taste good. Yeah. I want you to bow your heads, please. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. And I'm thinking of a young lady. She's in heaven now. And I remember going to her funeral. And I remember a man who was her professor at Bible college getting up to speak at her funeral. And here's what he said. He said, I remember Jenna telling me that in the evening, when she had her evening prayers before she went to bed, she would say to the Lord, Lord, did I do good for you today? She wanted to be sweet. I'm glad we can do something that he'll be happy with. And it's all because of Jesus and what he did. But it's sweet to his taste. Don't ever think what you do doesn't matter. It's sweet to the taste of the Savior.